What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Ohio State, Notre Dame, it's a big one. Who will win on Monday night? Will Ohio State? Will Ryan Day, this is really about Ryan, will Ryan Day get the national championship that will buy him love and unconditional, mostly, respect and love from Ohio State fans? To talk about all that and more, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is the Ohio State football beat writer at the Columbus Dispatch. Joey Kaufman joins us now. Joey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you guys.
Well, it's great to have you here. I'm sure the entire city of Columbus is buzzing about the national championship game here. We've seen a few different iterations of this Ohio State team, the team that showed up against Michigan, the team that showed up against Oregon and Tennessee, then the team that showed up against Texas. Which Ohio State team do you think is going to show up on Monday night?
I think the way they've been playing in this playoff suggests that this stretch is going to continue. I think they really are clicking on all cylinders. They have all the momentum, but you're right. They've shown in this roller coaster of a season to be able to play at the highest of highs, and they have had the lowest of lows against Michigan. And I'm sure Notre Dame is just taken note of the way that game went and the way that Michigan was able to drag them into a fist fight in a sort of a mess of a game, and would like to do as much, because Notre Dame is, in a lot of ways, built pretty similarly.
If this season ends with a title, how will that rank with Will Howard in Ohio State history for single seasons by a quarterback?
It would be up there, but I think it's interesting because you look at Will Howard and you look at some of the great Ohio State quarterbacks that Ryan Day has had with C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields, and neither of them have the hardware, but Will Howard would, I think, get a lot of credit for ultimately pushing Ohio State over the finish line, even though he wouldn't have the type of resume that those other guys did, like Haskins and Fields and Stroud ultimately made it to New York as a Heisman finalist. So it would be up there. Just depends on, I guess, what you ultimately value from your quarterback.
Joey, Texas used bracket coverage on Jeremiah Smith. They handled him a lot differently than most teams have in terms of just kind of the attention they paid to him. Do you expect more of the same from Notre Dame?
I think matchup is one of the more fascinating of this game, because Texas ran the two high safeties. They typically had one of those safeties floating to Jeremiah Smith's side of the field, played really deep, was very committed to taking him away. Notre Dame runs a very heavily man-covered scheme, and so that would suggest that Jeremiah Smith is going to have some isolated looks, unless at this point in the season Notre Dame is able to introduce some new stuff and lean on some zone and incorporate some different stuff. And they have a sharp defensive coordinator in Al Golden, but that's going to be the trick for Notre Dame. Can you use what you've used on defense to get you up to this point, or do you need to sort of lean on some different stuff to take away Jeremiah Smith? Because the team in the playoff who used man coverage against him, like Oregon and Tennessee, were burned for some big plays, and for Texas to hold them to one catch for 3 yards, I think is a testament to that defense.
How does Notre Dame beat Ohio State?
I think it slows the game down. It tries to bait Ohio State into playing more of a slog. I think it takes away the run. It forces Ohio State into some third and long situations. And I think maybe you see some turnovers from Will Howard. And this is a Notre Dame defense that leads the country in takeaways. They have 32 on the year between the interceptions and the fumbles recovered, and can score with their defense. And at times in big games, Will Howard has made some mistakes. You think back to the Penn State game where Ohio State's first drive goes for a pick six. He fumbled on another dive toward the end zone against Penn State. So there have been moments in these big games where he has had some lapses, and if Notre Dame could capitalize on those and turn them into some points, even better for them. I think that is the formula in which they win this game. If it's sort of slowed down, played at the line of scrimmage, and ultimately their defense and special teams capitalizes.
Joey Kaufman, Ohio State football beat writer at the Columbus Dispatch on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jim Tressel has spoken to Notre Dame previously as Marcus Freeman's one of his pupils. There's a lot of good love there. Do we know if Tress will have that in him? Will he be talking to Notre Dame ahead of this game? Will he be talking to Ohio State? Will he be sitting on the sidelines?
Yeah, he's been around Ohio State this season too. It's interesting because I've seen him wearing at several points. He has a vest where he's got the Youngstown State logo on one side and the Ohio State logo. I don't know if he'd have it in the wear blue, but I'm sure part of him has to wish Marcus Freeman well, because his teams in a lot of ways are very reminiscent of Tressel's teams at Ohio State, where they're just so complete in all three phases, offense, defense, special teams. And they lead the nation in blocked field goals this year. So they really, I think, across the board play so well and discipline and do not beat themselves. So they have some hallmarks of a Tressel team, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is interesting because Tressel has done so much for Notre Dame. And then I heard Urban Meyer about 24, 48 hours ago just waxing poetic about how great he thinks Marcus Freeman is. I mean, he just would not stop talking about the great job that Marcus Freeman has done. It's weird timing for the two most recent national title head coaches to be talking the way that they're talking.
Yeah, I think he's just I think to a lot of coaches, he's a likable person, runs a good program. They're well coached, I think, is just sort of a situation. And he is a former Ohio State player, so I think he just commands a certain level of respect.
Joey, it seems like Lou Holtz wants a little bit more of that smoke. Mm-hmm. Lou's using his social media there, saying he's going to be in the house on this one. He's not running from a fight here. The way it worked last time, Lou said some things. Ohio State beats Notre Dame. Ryan Day talks some smack afterwards. If Ohio State wins, are we going to hear Ryan Day bleep talk an 88-year-old man again?
It would certainly supply everyone tremendous content if he does. And Lou has certainly provided no shortage of bolts and board material this week. I sense that if Ohio State is to prevail Monday night, that there would just be, I think, probably just more euphoria in the moment of actually winning a title and being at the pinnacle of the sport, that Lou Holtz's comments might end up being small potatoes, maybe in a way they weren't when it's just a regular season game in September. So that would be probably my feeling. But also, if you win a national title, you're at the top of the sport. You're probably going to be strutting and feeling yourself, and they may talk their talk as well.
Joey, would you crap talk an old man?
Well, Lou can talk with the best of us. So
I think it's like a valid question. I just want to see.
What?
If it's Lou, sure. Like, I mean, he comes on his own. He's tweeting.
You'd crap talk Lou Holtz?
Well, he seems to bring it. It seems all in good fun.
Yeah, I listen, Joey, I don't know
wait,
you.
You
I don't know
wait,
you from
so,
Adam, but
so you wouldn't, you JP, you wouldn't if Lou Holtz stepped out of line with you. He's clearly he's still somewhat there, mostly there, whatever. He's still there enough that you can fire back and say, simmer down, old man.
At a certain age, I say, you know what?
What's
I'm just going to let this one roll off. Maybe 81, maybe 80, somewhere around there.
I think that's ageist.
I think when you enter 80s, no. If anything,
I think that's
equal
ageist.
Opportunity. But Joey, once you hit 80, I can't be crap talking you. There's no, that doesn't work out for me.
Yeah, that's probably fair. But
Don't ride the fence. Don't let them bully you into this.
But right? Joey, who else do you want to crap talk that's 88 years old?
Huh.
I got a grandpa that's 84.
He thought about it. Yeah. He's like, I don't know. Might be somebody out there.
I guarantee you, if there's an 80-year-old listening, they can call up at 216-474-0092.
They might be better at it.
They would not have felt that alive in decades as when somebody instigated.
Yeah. That's the gift that you're giving them, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
There's conflict is one of the true pillars of life.
Yeah.
And being able to say, hey, not being treated like an invalid.
He just wants a bottle of Crown Royal. He doesn't want an argument with you.
So do I. Maybe that's what we do. Whoever wins the smack off gets the Crown Royal. Yeah, Lou would win. Lou would fight
crown?
To the death on the
yeah. Yeah, he would.
So with this, with a win, obviously Ryan Day has taken endless amounts of crap from Ohio State fans this year to the point where we got national writers saying he should leave no matter what happens because it's just the Ohio State fans have gone too far. If Ryan does win this, How long does this buy him in the hot seat conversation? Are we talking about we're not having this conversation for at least another 3 years again?
I think that's right. I think he's done enough in this playoff to remove himself from the hot seat. I think if he actually wins the national title, you buy yourself quite a bit of credibility with fans, and I think it makes people comfortable with the trajectory of the program. Long term, I think certainly next November, people are going to bring up the Michigan game and people will think about it all off season and people will certainly look at that situation as if he has a real problem in that game. But in terms of winning national championships, he would be in that class of a coach. And I think that would be certainly hard to really feel anything other than just if you're a fan, ecstatic about. And the way they're recruiting and bringing in players through the high school ranks and the portal each year, they're going to be in the running every year for the national title. So I think certainly a win would kind of get the monkey off his back a little bit.
Well, hopefully we get an interesting national championship game no matter what. Joey, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the game and enjoy the free content because this, whether it's Lou Holtz, whether it's just Notre Dame versus Ohio State, I would imagine the clicks are coming rolling in
and
right
take
now.
Take it easy on those geriatrics out there, Joey.
Don't you dare.
I will use some kid gloves.
They are still people, Joey. It's okay.
What a twist that way. That might be your greatest twist ever.
Because you're
88. You know, clearly you want to.
Do you realize how infantilizing people are when you're that age? And like some people like it. Some people are built for it. But some
there's
people,
a respecting of the elders that has to happen here, though, Nick, that I feel like is being disregarded.
There's no way to show respect.
There's a respect of, hey, you've lived this long, you've contributed so much to society, so I'm not going to take you to task between a football game.
There is no greater respect to show somebody than to treat them as an equal. All right? I will, as an 88-year-old, I will treat you the way if you were a 38-year-old, and they'll say thank you.
As I curse you up and down.
Yes, exactly. Out of love for you and respect for your many years of service on this planet, the best way I can make you feel vibrant and remind you that you're a human being on this beautiful planet is to mother bleep you if you step out of line.
You don't even believe it at this point, but it's a great spin. It's a good spin on your behalf.
Call up my night mama right now. She's 92. We can find
you guys go toe for toe?
She's problematic. She's problematic at 92.
Jesse, would you let Joey crap talk your nug mama?
I would have to.
No chance.
Yeah, because I want her to feel alive. 216-474-0092. They're still people, man, okay?
Yeah, yeah. That's the spin. That's
the downside of being this type of favorite in a national championship game on 92.3 The Fan. This is probably one of the more fascinating potential national championships from the Ohio State side of things because if Justin Fields had won the national championship, if they had beaten Georgia, you go on, as everybody expected, you win the national championship. Oh, sorry, that was C.J. Stroud. His legacy would have been, twice as what it was, which is already really darn good, but it would have doubled his legacy at Ohio State. Justin Fields, if he had won in 2020... if they had beaten Alabama, you're talking about, it would probably be solidified as the greatest quarterback performance of all time.
For sure.
Because of their roles in the offense with Will Howard. I think the perception is, get the ball to Jeremiah Smith and don't muck it up.
And unfortunately, that's how people look at him. But they've had this perception of him forever, though. Like, and when he transferred from Kansas State, I mean, he wasn't the number one transfer on the board or anything like that. And it was, like, I saw the money that he's making. Because one of the highlights out of this game is the idea that both him and Riley Leonard are both transferred quarterbacks. It's the first national title game with two transfer quarterbacks, and which kind of speaks to the NIL era that we're currently existing and living in. It's probably going to become more of a norm, but it is something that's different about this game and this game in particular. But he wasn't the favorite, and he was never looked at it that way. But he's the numbers and what he's put up, I mean, Nick, he's been really impressive.
It's so weird because on one hand, I just look at him and go, he's just a really nice college quarterback. And then you're like, well, he's like 6'4". He's pretty athletic.
He's like Big Ben size.
He's got a really nice arm.
He's really big, and people don't even think about it. That's because he kind of, I said yesterday, he's like a sim character. And that's why I think people don't look at him that way. He's a little dorky. He's a little goofy. And you just don't think about how big he is, but he's massive.
Well, and like he's got a lot of traits.
Yeah.
So it is there. Like I don't think in this quarterback class, I don't think it's insane that he would be a top 4-round pick and that he might have a chance to grow into something. And yet I also look at him and I'm going, yeah, I mean, so much of this, you know, when Ohio State has been in trouble, it's been Will Howard making bad decisions. And that I think, I think without the Michigan loss, I think he'd get a lot more credit. I think that Michigan loss and the two picks.
Well, they took him out of the game in the Michigan game. Like, how do you have such a great quarterback or perceived to be a great quarterback then? And then in that moment, you just take him out. What's interesting to me, though, is that he so I have a million numbers and stats and everything I could throw at you about how great he is from a completion percentage standpoint and how like all-time great he is from a completion standpoint, but he also has thrown more interceptions in a season than any Ohio State quarterback. He's got double digit. Like it's weird. He has so many great accuracy traits, but then he also is, as you said, wildly reckless at times that you just kind of like hit your head and you're like, what a bozo. Like this guy, why did he do that there? And that's what I think stays with him.
I even think the credit thing goes to, I think it's going to be really fascinating to see if Ohio State wins the national championship this year, how they're stacked up against Urban's national championship team and Jim Tressel's. Because I think this team is frustrated. Ohio State fans.
Such more of a favorite than you are the 0-2 team.
Yeah. Well, but
from a national title game standpoint is what I mean, not from a likability standpoint. Like the 0-2 team was your double digit underdogs to Miami. I think it was a 2-touchdown underdog. And this one, you're 8-point favorites, 8.5-point favorites.
But I think that's what, like, you can make an argument this team is as talented as that team in terms of future NFL prospects or the works. It's one of the most experienced teams. I mean, Tressel and Urban have said it's the most talented Ohio State team ever. And I don't know it's going to, and maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe I'm just thinking back too much to early in the season. I don't know a team in a position to really to be in the national championship game, to be the favorite, to be almost a 10-point favorite. I don't know that those two previous national title teams combined were complained about as much and disliked at points, distrusted by Ohio State fans combined as much as this one team has
been. Well, I mean, think about it. Ohio State and Notre Dame are both playing with an advantage that the 0-2 and the 14 team didn't have. And that's the idea that once the moment Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, their season should have been done. The moment Ohio State lost to Michigan, their season should have been done. But the new format, it saved both of them.
I do wonder if...
That will ding them long term.
I actually think it's going to go the opposite. The more championships we have, where you've got 12 teams and eventually be 14 teams and eventually be 16 teams.
You think we'll respect it more because of the gauntlet you have to go through?
Yeah, I think the way we look at this, you shouldn't have even been there, I think that talking point will have been lost 5 years down the road.
I hope you're right. I don't. What do you think about it right now, though?
I don't think it's valid.
If I was making a defense for the 0-2 team, that's what I would go to.
I just my response would be, it doesn't matter. It's different, you know? Who knows if they would have lost that Michigan game? Who knows if they would have lost even the first Oregon? Maybe they attacked the season differently if you don't have the wiggle room that I think they knew they had.
I mean, it's weird because, I mean, if you're a Notre Dame fan, for instance, you talk about the 2012 team that lost to Alabama, and you'd be like, well, geez, I mean, that team didn't have a Northern Illinois loss in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a different environment.
But I do think there's part of that that's going to stay in 2025. And I think the more we see imperfect teams, is assuming that every year we're talking about, well, we got an 8 seed here and a 3 seed here. I think the more that this happens, the more it's normalized, the less kind of precious people are going to be about it. But okay. I still don't know that this will be as beloved as certainly the O2 team, which was, I mean, that had been the first national championship in forever, and it was just such a special season and, you know, special circumstances, and they were a home, and they were an underdog, a massive underdog to Miami. 216-474-0092. How much credit does Ryan Day get for winning this national championship? We're going to get to that in just a second here, but Tom in Los Angeles, welcome to the show.
You guys are doing exactly what I've been fearing with your last sentence right there. Look, every one of the hosts this week have talked about when Ohio State wins, it's going to be a blowout. You guys all know about the juju and superstition. It's like when there's going to be a field goal made and the announcer says, oh, he hasn't missed in 20 weeks. Boom, the guy misses. You guys are going to ruin it for the Buckeyes. I keep saying it's when, not if. Come on, guys. You know about superstition in the sports world.
Yeah, and it's made up. It's fictitious.
No, it's not made up. It's truly, it's for real. And you ask everybody else that calls it.
Can you give me an instance where, like specific on the like a national championship level that this has happened?
Did you change out of the socks at one time or something, or what happened?
No. Listen, I won the Texas game for us.
You did. All right. Tell me how, Tom. I'm interested. I want to know how.
Here we go. When I was at the Rose Bowl for Oregon, everything I wore that day, I didn't wash. I wore the exact same underwear. Sweater, jeans, shoes. Didn't touch anything.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on. I was standing the same exact way that I stood at the Oregon game.
Okay.
The way I had my
Do,
feet
do you have everything unwashed and set out for this game too?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
I haven't touched it.
Because I don't want to put don't put bad juju now, out there, Tom.
Yeah, do you practice your stance? But I really want to know this.
Yeah,
because,
what stance are you in?
Yeah, because if you haven't done it for 10 days, that layoff could really hurt your stance.
Oh, that's right.
I actually do not warm up, but I make sure I have my stance in right. So it's kind of an open stance, kind of like when you're golfing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have that. I have my arms crossed where my right arm goes underneath my left arm.
Now,
right?
What if I try this during the game? Will I be co-opting some of your good juju?
Will you be offset?
Or is it offset? Yeah.
You have to have your own juju.
I count two negatives make a positive.
Right. Okay. And is it too late in the season to find our juju? Because it feels like you've got something that's working for you. I don't
want to throw your juju off.
Yeah. Well, I just want to find my own juju, and I don't know how to find juju.
Should I wear the same underwear that I'm wearing right now?
I did. I 3 weeks in a row, I'm not touching anything. But, guys, come on. You have to be honest about this. You know, like Joel Klatt is the biggest Ohio State jinx in the entire world. I don't think the Buckeyes have ever won a game when he's announcing it.
He's announced a million games.
I actually think I figured this out, Tom. Should I guarantee a Notre Dame win because I want Ohio State to win?
Yeah, that would do it.
All right.
That'll do it.
You know, right Tom, there. I got to tell you, I've really enjoyed this Ohio State run. They're not doing it. Marcus Freeman, that guy's a real coach.
Riley Leonard is basically Josh Allen.
I've said Riley Leonard is this generation's John Elway, and I'll say right now,
The comps
13-point win by Notre Dame. Lock it in. I've said lock it in.
Love
I've said
you
the
guys.
Word.
Jeter, their kicker, might as well be Derek Jeter.
Yep.
He's outstanding. Talk about clutch. He always comes through. Gentlemen,
congratulations. This is good news. I will call you guys on Tuesday, and we'll talk about how you guys made it happen.
All right, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
I would like that national championship.
And I won't change my underwear either, Tom.
Does this mean we get NIL? I think Tom might just not want to clean
change his underwear. I think so, too.
It's okay. You're a grown man. You can do whatever you want. Didn't do that. Here's the thing. We get part of the NIL, right? I mean, if I've just guaranteed Notre Dame's national championship, and I've jinxed Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Where's my part of the pot here?
I'd talk to Brady Quinn.
Well, no, I don't think Brady
Quinn.
Wrong
NIL. Wrong collective.
And maybe go to Tyvus?
Maybe. If you can get it.
I will.
Why are we doing Jeets drops, by the way, for Jeter, their kicker? That's if we're really going to support the Fighting Irish here.
I did not see that call coming today.
No.
Yeah.
No. How could you? That one, I'm not going to say Tom came from the loony bin because that's not nice, but how could you predict that call?
I miss being like that kind of fan, though. You know?
It was not. When you're a kid and you believed in that type of stuff, that is kind of nice.
Rally caps. Just anything. Rally cats, you, like, rally
you
monkey.
Generally rally anything, got really. Mad at the announcers yep. if they like a no hitter is being thrown right now. It's like, yep. don't say that.
Yep.
Don't do that type of thing.
Mac.
I mean, I'm superstitious, but that's ridiculous.
Okay, and now you have to define superstitious.
A like, little stitious.
Like, for instance, during the Cavs championship run, I literally would have to find a spot where I'm watching at home in order to find, like, if they started to go on a run, then I would just stay in that spot for the rest of the game.
Like, not move once?
No.
Do you? Okay.
Why do you think you're impacting anything that's happening no. so many miles away?
Again, I'm just a superstitious person.
It just works for you.
Yeah, it just works for me.
I can't hate on it. It works for you.
It works for how I'm watching the game.
I don't think that's an answer, though. I don't, but he's asked a specific question.
You know what, though? It is fun to watch games with people that are superstitious, and you're like, or have a lot of money on a game, so then they become superstitious.
No,
like, I will not move because I got money on this, and this is how I need to see it happen.
If you want me...
It's kind of fun, because I think about them being cuckoo, but it is kind of fun.
If you want me to leave a situation quickly, inject somebody into the scenario that they've got a lot of money riding on a game, they become the worst people on the planet.
Imagine going to Tom's house and he's like, "This, I just stand in this golf pose for hours on end and will not move because it's my pose." He stands there like he's a statue in the corner. That would be hysterical.
Mac, I need a better defense of this.
Explain
why you feel like superstition leads you. Like, do you think it leads to results?
I mean, for me, it just makes the game a little bit more watchable, I guess, for me. Like,
you feel
it feels,
like you got some stake in it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of control that I might have in this, even though I know it does not affect it whatsoever.
Okay.
Listen, we both know it's ridiculous, but I like that people like you exist, Mac.
It was better when Tom, and there was like an abstract guy, and I could picture in my head, and I was like, Tom's just a sweet soul, and he's just a big Ohio State fan, and he led us to a great 3 or 4 minutes there. But then to see Mac, who's like a really, I know Mac so well that there was like a 3% stock drop in Mac Robinson just now because I gave him a chance. I gave him a chance to defend, like, okay, what's the point of this? And he was like, it just works for me. That's not an answer.
Do your parents get involved in this too, or are you by yourself?
No, just me.
Just you, okay.
Did they ever? When did you start doing this?
What would my reaction be if my daughter started to do stuff like this?
Common sense, maybe jeering. Come on, you know,
I'm not gonna jeer.
How old is she?
I'm just thinking about Mac's parents being like, and this is why he's living with us right now.
Let him have it, Tina. Let him have it.
I'm thinking about Tom's wife.
Did I just guarantee?
Easy now.
Talking downtown.
No, they're just heard us on the phone
Hot
being
damn.
Like,
there ain't no beating this.
Heard us being on the phone like, yeah, he's in that position again. He's just he's in the golf pose cheering on the Buckeyes.
The pose is a little much, though. I will say that.
Oh, that's where we draw the line.
That's where I'm drawing the line.
I don't believe you get to soapbox anybody.
Well, what's
in this
nice
scenario.
About the playoff is that people have been able to build up their superstitions now. We got weeks on end of people building up their superstitions.
All right, Paul and Westlake, what are your thoughts there on sports superstitions?
You know that quote, I'm not superstitious, I'm a little stitious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the office. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I would definitely say that's me. You know, I don't bet on Cleveland sports, for that very reason. I did last night, unfortunately, on the Cavs.
So it's your fault.
Paul, we figured it out.
Yeah, I went to, I remember when the Guardians, but it was the Indians at the time, was on that 27-game win streak. And then I went to the game, and then we lost.
I knew it was your fault.
It was 22.
Yeah. So it's those little things, like you said, they're...
Because people don't care about win streaks, Nick.
Yeah, so I wouldn't go to the Cavs game when we were on our 15-game win streak. So those little things. So, I'm definitely a little stitious, but not to the point where I'm going to not wash my underwear or something crazy like that. But
yeah, that's the crazy
stuff. I do love that there's a line of crazy that people will not cross in their mind.
It's soapboxing somebody's crazy.
No,
yeah.
It's not crazy until it's somebody else doing it, like underwear. Then that's crazy.
All right, we got to say Jordan in North Olmsted. We got about 35, 40 seconds here, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, my big question here is we have Ken Carmen, who is guaranteeing an Ohio State win.
Mm-hmm.
And we have you, Nick Wilson, now, albeit a little fictitious, I understand. But we have Nick Wilson guaranteeing a Notre Dame win. So now we're really going to see who of the 92-3 host has the ultimate power controlling these sports outcomes.
Now, in fairness, mine was to jinx Notre Dame. So I think mine is stronger than Ken's, because I think Ken hopped on the Ohio State bandwagon very late.
I think I'm probably going to go with you on that one.
Ah, I like that. Okay. I just like winning. Yeah. Jordan, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. 216-474-0092. Have I secured an Ohio State national championship by guaranteeing? Have I jinxed sufficiently? You know, Notre Dame and Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame fans, if you want to get in on this, if you want to ask me to remove my jinx, 216-474-0092. And how this year's NFL playoffs are different from years past on 92.3 The Fan. We do have the divisional round of the playoffs, and we got into this a little bit yesterday. Just talking about it, it is the easy low hanging fruit sports talk topic, saying now it's really when the playoffs begin. I just think what's so intriguing about this year is every year there's a team that we say it's their year, mm-hmm. right? This is they've been building to this, and this is the moment where you find out whether they can do it. With this year, it feels like half the field or more is it teams. Like, this is your moment. It's been building to this. Can you do it? Can you not do it?
I got two teams. I'm glad you said half the field, because I got worried you're going to make me pin it down on the two obvious ones. I mean, it's the Ravens and the Bills for me. Even on like the NFC side, I think the Lions have been so injured, I can't possibly say it's their time, because they have an excuse for me. They have an out there because of the injuries.
They're number one seed. They're 15-2. How many times do you get to be 15-2?
They have 20 guys on their injury report. They're down to their like third and fourth string defensive backs.
I know that progress isn't linear. It has been for the Lions. They've gone from 9 wins. I think they had 12 or 13 last year to 15. And this is the best offense maybe Detroit's ever seen.
That's the bet. Can they just score a million points and just have the defense not even matter? But I think it's going to be incredibly hard for them to do.
So there's two teams that I've kind of thrown off. Commanders, because it's their first year, and Jaden Daniels is a rookie quarterback. Like, this feels like the beginning of a window, right?
Agreed. You can't put the Commanders in there. You can't put the Texans in there either.
Certainly not the Texans.
Both those teams feel.
Even the Rams.
Rams as well. Rams were supposed to be in this like mini rebuild thing, and they turned it into a great postseason experience. But they're take them out of the equation.
The only way that it might be that you could spin the Rams is twofold. One, Stafford is getting older, and two, the NFC is just not. There's not like one team that you look at and go unbeatable, but because of the Lions' injuries and the Eagles' personality.
They're also hard, though, because I feel like they fall in the same category that the Eagles do, where it's like we've seen them recently in a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about these it teams, we're talking about teams that are ascending and teams that are going to reach new heights, and both the Eagles and the Rams have recently been in Super Bowls.
But I just look at this, and I'm like, man, the Eagles. Well, see, I think this is, if the Eagles had won a couple years ago, if they had beaten Mahomes,
yeah,
I think maybe I feel differently. It feels like Nick Sirianni needs to go and win a Super Bowl. Then anything short of that, he might not be back next year.
Did you hear the report this morning? The report this morning was that Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are on good terms, finally.
Oh, well, that's good.
And it's like, what?
What about A.J. Brown?
Yeah, right? They're like 48-16 all time together with each other. And the reports all offseason was how they couldn't get along. And now apparently they're on good terms. Okay, good.
So I look at the Chiefs. It's clearly, I mean, this is... They have been. I don't want to say sleepwalking, but that's been an accusation. I think you've leveled that against them.
I have put that in their direction.
And there's the historical context of it's your year to be the first team to pull the sword from the stone and win 3 straight Super Bowls. I think the Lions. I definitely feel that way about them. The Eagles, but it's so wild. Like that is at the crux of the Ravens Bills game is just. Who do you root for? Well, like who's the team that truly is the this is your year kind of moment?
I think that's the question. Like, and whichever team wins that game and gets to take on what is presumed to be the Chiefs in the AFC title game, that'll be your welcome to the table moment. And you have to win that game if you're that.
So what's wild is you can spin it for the Ravens, right? Or you make a case for the Ravens because they were in the AFC title game last year and because Lamar took what he did 2 years ago and he just leveled it up to a different level this year. And Kansas City hasn't been the dominating Kansas City we're used to. You can take that last line, though, apply it to Buffalo, and say this is really, it's not the first year, but it's the first year since Mahomes beat Allen with 12 seconds to go, where you're like, okay, they finally rebuilt that defense. Whatever the weird thing between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen is, he's just distributing the ball. They've got a run game.
James Cook is legitimately a top five running back, and people just don't want to recognize
it. There's so many things going on with the Bills where
McDermott's
it's like,
as aggressive as he's ever been. Like, he seems like he's turned the page as a head coach.
They haven't had the elements all kind of going in their favor right now. And so it adds just so much more to the Ravens-Bills game. Like you've kind of mentioned, Texans-Chiefs, that's one team that it's this is their year kind of mentality. And the other, it's maybe we're still just happy to be here. Lions-Commanders. One team is a team that has been building to this for 3 years and one's, you know, fresh into the playoffs. Eagles-Rams, same thing. The crux of the Ravens, the intrigue of the Ravens-Bills game is somebody who has a justified, like a absolutely, you've been building towards this. You have everything you need potentially to build a championship and to win a championship this year. At least one of them's going home guaranteed this. That's a pretty cool spot to be in for the NFL playoffs.
I mean, to me, it is the entirety of the divisional weekend. I mean, it's such a great weekend and we got four games, but like to me, that's the bell of the ball. That's it. The winner of that game. Then there's so many repercussions, I feel like, for each team if they don't.
This is the rare time where I'm rooting for chalk. It is. I rarely ever will do this because I think
across the board?
Yeah. Well, okay. When I say chalk, what I mean is...
So you want Chiefs, you want Ravens, you want Lions,
So what I'm
Eagles?
Saying, I'm talking about in the matchups of teams that are new to the party or who maybe their championship windows, I don't want them to win. I want Chiefs versus Bills or Ravens. I want Eagles versus Lions. Like I want the final four standing in football to be teams that you can all go, yeah, it's their year. Because I just think that makes it so much more. I think it's so fun to look at this and go, you can tell me that all four teams in that scenario, it's been building to this moment, and yet two teams are going to go to the Super Bowl. One's going to pull the sword from the stone and win it.
Do you think any upsets happen? The Lions are kind of extreme. Chiefs are 8-point favorites. Lions are 9.5-point favorites. Eagles are 6.5-point favorites. I think both of us would say we'd take the Rams as the upset out of those three games.
CJ Stroud can throw. He can. I don't know that Texans team is as good as last year's Texans team, but I don't know that this year's Chiefs are as good as last year's Chiefs.
I'm rooting for it. I told you, I'm rooting for it. I don't want to say that the Chiefs will win guaranteed or hands down because I don't want to bet against myself as I watch these games because I would like a Chiefs meltdown.
216-474-0092. So there are rightfully probably four or five teams that we can claim it's this year. If you had to pick one team, whose year is this year? Like a team that's been building to it. This feels like a now or never moment for them. We got to sound the alarms for the Cavs, or maybe to not sound the alarms for the Cavs. That starts the 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.